really do appreciate the kind words from Mr. Gary, and this church really has done so much for me from growing up to now, and I feel like it's only right if I can give a little bit of that back through my work and through my service, and I hope the Lord gives me strength to do the very best that I can. But moving on from that, I just want to give another little bit of appreciation to one of my best friends, Harrison Kelly. He did such a great job, and this was my first time hearing him this morning, believe it or not, and he blew me away. And if you'd have told me that one day, you know, us little kids sitting in these pews talking during church, that we'd be two-manning a church service one day, a morning and an afternoon, I'd have called you crazy. But it really is awesome, and I do appreciate getting to be here. Centerville definitely has themselves a good intern, but I think Fairfield's might be a little bit better. I'm so glad that was announced today, because I wanted to make that joke, but I wasn't sure if I was allowed to until that was officially announced. So thank you for announcing that, Mr. Gary. So now I want to get into my lesson. I know we're all full, we're all sleepy, so I promise I won't keep you too long. But also, I forgot to mention, Rodney, if you're watching this online, your parking spot is now mine that's out there. just wanted to make that known. So let's get into my lesson. And of course, as Mr. Wallace read so wonderfully, Matthew 7, 1 and 2. And of course, it says, "Judge not that you be not judged." And of course, it's a very simple passage. It's a passage that all of us have heard our entire lives, probably. But how often do you hear on a daily basis this passage getting misused as an excuse to sin? So this afternoon, I want to go into this scripture a little bit. I want to explain what it really means and why it's okay to a certain extent to keep your fellow man or woman on the right path. So men and women often stretch this little verse out of shape, as we know. We make it mean what it really never has meant. And this can be seen through the works of false teachers that preach the Bible, but only for their own gain. That you can't judge one another, that everyone is perfect in their own way. But as Jesus tells us, that's just not true. But if you mention the word sin ever, this passage is often parroted. The word of God is often used, it is often manipulated, and quite frankly, I've heard this passage more from those who oppose Christianity and those that have probably have never studied a book of the Bible more than those who have, honestly. But thankfully, Jesus Christ did not leave this statement without specific clarification. This is like pretty much every other point in the Bible that he makes. Context and further knowledge is something very, very important that many tend to ignore more often than not. So let's get into it. My first point is that righteous judgment is not included when it says, "Judge not." Now in John 7:24, it says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." Now, when men gather evidence and come to a conclusion, even if that conclusion that someone else is living in sin, then this is righteous judgment. But we can come to these conclusions based on the Bible, what the Bible defines as sin and the actions that it tells us to avoid. And it's very important if we point out these things to our fellow man. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, it says, "But test everything. Hold fast what is good." So not only should we gather this evidence, we should prove all things. We should refrain from being like an angry mob that attacks with emotion against someone that they simply don't like, not because it's the truth. Be like a judge in a court, and you have to have that reasonable evidence before you proclaim that someone is guilty. I mean, I feel like at this point it should be common knowledge for us Christians to do this before we start attacking our fellow men. Now in Acts 8:21 through 23, Peter calls out a man that is not right with God. He tells him to pray for forgiveness because his heart is not in the right place. Peter made a conclusion that a man was in sin. And he told him so. This is not what was meant by "judge not." Because Peter, he's helping. This is what we are called to do as Christians. Because if we sit by and watch our brother or sister in Christ live their lives in sin, we know that only doom awaits for them. And if we truly had that Christ-like love, we would help them. We would do our very best to instruct them the proper way. So, if righteous judgment is not meant in Matthew 7, what is? Well, simply put, it's false judgment is what is meant here. So that is judging by false standards, by having false evidence, and by using false reasoning. Now, if you'd like to turn away from Matthew 7, I'll be turning to Matthew chapter 12. And we'll be reading verses 1 through 8. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which it was not lawful for him to eat for those who were with him." And he goes on, and it's basically the point he's making here is that the Pharisees are essentially calling out the disciples, but then Jesus quickly straightens them out. Because what are they doing here? They are condemning those who were guiltless. And this is using a false standard. Now, this is one of the most foolish things you can do. Attacking someone who isn't even in the wrong. Not only does this weaken how others may view you, it also weakens how they view your intelligence or maybe even your faith. Because that is not what we are called to do as Christians, to call out those who are not in the wrong. Now in Matthew 26, verse 59 through 60, this is the Roman council. They're trying Jesus. They are wanting to put him to death. And how do they try to do this? Well, they are bringing false witnesses. And you're acknowledging your lies once you try to bring forth false witnesses. You were trying to convince other people that this person did what you're accusing him of when everyone knows that he did not. You were convincing others to lie as well. So what are you really accomplishing when you try to get others to lie for you? Is it really godly? Or are you just looking for a reason to condemn someone that you view as your enemy? And this was one of my favorite points to research. Because this not only shows one person trying to bring someone down, but it's getting other people to lie and to sin as well. And in Matthew 22:23 through 33, I'm going to read that as well because I feel like this is one of the more important ones that I'd like to read. And it reads, "The same day, Sadducees came to him, who say that there is no reconstruction. And they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher,' Moses said, 'If a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. So to the second and third, down to the seventh. After them, all the women died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her. But Jesus answered them, 'You were wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' And when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at his teaching." False reasoning. That goes along with another version of this false judgment. Now, this is the true reason why God is the true judge and not us. Because our view and our take on the world is very flawed and it's very imperfect. But that's why Jesus, the perfect man, has set the groundwork for us. Because he knows that our judgment will not always be perfect when it is not righteous. So we know that false judgment is what is being told against in Matthew 7. But before we close, since I did promise it would be short, it's important to look on the other side of that judgment coin. It is still important to not be too hasty when you're judging someone else, even if you feel like you were justified in doing so. Because we are all still very sinful. To care more about another's shortcomings before your own is very, very hypocritical. Remember, you know your own sins and your personal struggles more than you know about anyone else's. Our moral compass is not always perfectly accurate, as Jesus knows, and that's why he says what he said in Matthew 22. When righteously judging, we're not looking to condemn someone, but we're simply trying to steer those back to the way they should be headed. But also, this is a point I'd like to make that's very important. Do not be so proud to ignore the righteous judgment of others towards you. Do not scramble to nitpick the Bible and to try to find that one loophole that almost justifies your actions or what you're trying to do, because that's a lot of work for a whole lot of nothing. Be grateful that a friend or that a fellow Christian is calling you out on your mistakes before God does. And once God does, that's when you know it is too late. And there's so much more we can talk about on the topic of judgment. And one of these days, I would like to flesh out this topic a little bit more and to go more in detail, because there is a lot we can talk about. So in conclusion, we are not in the wrong when we point out the sins of another if we use the right standard, the right evidence, and the right reasoning to help your brother or sister in Christ find the path of the righteous. So with that being said, this afternoon, we realize that above all else, the Lord is still the supreme judge, the supreme judge. If you find yourself feeling that negative judgment awaits you from God, just know that it is absolutely not too late to change that, to put Christ on in baptism and to be born again. I invite you to do so at this time as we stand and as we sing.